Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, right back in time. Not a moment to spare. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Literally, as soon as I turned off my microphone, my son calls. He calls several times a show. There's nothing I can do. He loves talking to his dad, and no matter how many times I tell him, Tyler, I'm on the radio, Tyler, I'm on the radio, Tyler, I can't talk, Tyler, I'll call you. He just gets that itchy trigger finger. I mean, literally the second I turned off my microphone. Then I go to make some salad because I'm trying to be better and eat stuff that's not as fun. So I go to make the salad while I'm talking to Tyler. Come back. I mean, as I'm walking in the door, the intro music, Darius plays. I mean, like, not a second to spare. Not a second. Love my job. 800-636-1067. We will get into the Caps. We'll get into the Nationals. All sorts of stuff going on there. We're with you until 3:30. SEC Championship coverage at that point. Let's finish up on the Redskins. Let's go to Gary in Bethesda, and then we'll get to Chris in D.C. on the right after that. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Hey there, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
Okay, I would never take Dan Snyder's side on anything. I can't say on the radio what I think of him, nor Bruce Allen. They screwed over Trent with putting him on the non-football injury, and he clearly tried to get them by coming in just in time to get his year in his contract. But one thing nobody says, he keeps saying they didn't take care of him. The medical staff didn't take care of him. I don't know what he makes, but if I made $5 million or whatever he may make, I go get a doctor. It's your head. It's your brain. It's your scalp. I can find three doctors today and go see one tomorrow and not spend one thousandth of what he makes in a year.
Right. But his point is, and there are people like this, and I am like this to some degree, so I kind of understand. I totally see your point. I am like this. If my doctor tells me, no big deal, don't worry about it. Like, you don't need to get a follow-up on it. I ain't going. There are some people that go to the doctor and go to the ER if they sneeze wrong, okay? That's not me. I'm probably not doing it the right way, but that's my way, right? So Trent, as a chiseled athlete, okay, as a finely tuned athlete, is – his whole life has been listening to trainers and doctors in a football environment, right? They are essentially their primary doctors because that's their world. They don't go to work from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then, oh, by the way, go for doctor's appointments after that. That's not how it works. They go see the doctor while they're there at the football building, you know, and the doctors aren't always there, but the trainers are always there. And if they need doctors, the doctors come. So my point is,
what you say makes a ton of sense. And if my doctor said your tooth hurts, get a knee surgery, I would just go do it. But, you know, it's not knees. It's not shoulders. It's what it is.
I know. I agree.
An inch from your brain, man.
And that does make it different to your point, Gary, is that, you know, there are certain things you can kind of maybe be a little negligent on, and then there are certain things that, you know, you should probably be a little more diligent on. And he said over and over again, look, it wasn't painful. It was more cosmetic, And I do understand that to some degree. But to your point, right, if it's your brain or if it's your head, I guess even if it's not painful, even if you've been told over and over and over again, if it ain't going away for as long as it apparently was there, at some point you would think someone in your life would be like, hey, big fella, you really should go get that checked out. You know, like they've had a lot of issues in that building. I wouldn't totally trust them. And apparently nobody did.
Last thing I can say, I know you got to move on, is I'd love to just get a second round pick for him. Bye-bye. He hates us. Yeah. They don't like him. I think he's a great guy. Give me a second round pick. We won the lottery.
You know?
He ain't never playing here again.
No,
never.
No, never. And a second round pick, if it's in the top 12, 13, I think that's probably about the best you can do right now. He hadn't played football in a year and a half. The acquiring team doesn't even know if he's going to be able to fit a helmet or find a helmet.
Give me a
so
third.
That he can
I'm
play.
Taking a third. Give me a third. I'll take the third.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Gary. That's my fear. You know, now that this whole scenario has developed the way it has, you know, he's 31. He hadn't played football in a year and a half. He's had a injury history. Like, he could pass a physical. That's not the problem. What if you trade for him, you trade a first-round pick or even a high second-round pick? Say you're, you know, say Bill Callahan winds up somewhere. You know, say he goes to where he wanted to go last offseason, Cincinnati. And they try and trade for Trent Williams. What happens if you can't get a helmet that fits him comfortably? What do you do then? You're out your asset. You're out your resource. I'd be very, very, very hesitant to trade for Trent Williams right now. Everybody just keeps thinking, oh, they're just going to trade him. This will be done. No, it won't. I'm not saying that they can't trade him. I'm saying it won't be as easy as people think. There is nobody that has even considered the possibility until I bring it up to them. Hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought maybe they might not just trade him after all? Maybe they might not get what they want. And maybe they're so hell-bent on revenge and ruining his career as they feel he's ruined their organization, that they're like, wait a second. If we don't get what we want, we'll just make him miserable. And he can lose another $12 million. Or he can come and play. And we'll get whatever Trent Williams we get back. And it'll be ugly. And it'll be messy. And it'll be like Kirk Cousins in his final year. Only worse. You don't think Bruce Allen, if he's still in charge, would embrace that? And again, I would also say this. It's not just Bruce Allen. Let's get to Chris in D.C. on the Fan. Chris, thanks for hanging in there. How are you?
Hey, Chris. I'm actually in Virginia now. I'm driving.
Okay. Sorry about that. I apologize.
No, don't worry about it. First, I should ask, are you going to the Caps game on Monday night?
I am. Yes, absolutely. Got to work the little pregame show from 6:30 to 6:45, and yeah, I'll be there. Absolutely. You?
Where's the pregame show held at?
I do it from the press box, so it's not like a big deal. Unfortunately, fans can't be up there. Sometimes I roam around the concourse just to stretch my legs or whatever. So yeah, it should be a good night. St. Louis Blues, Stanley Cup champions in town against the last Stanley Cup champions.
No, it's the Blue Jackets, not the Blues.
Oh, it's the Blue Jackets. I'm sorry. My bad. I saw Blues, and you're right.
I know,
you're right.
I know.
My bad.
The ticket prices and StubHub aren't that great right now, but I'm going to the game. I was just wondering if you're going to be roaming around and where I could just bump and say hello to you. But looking forward to that. Unlike looking forward to the Redskins rest of the year.
I understand. Where do you sit? Where do you sit for Caps games?
Section 109. Roe P-C-20.
Okay. I'll try. I can't promise anything because I'm, you know, kind of busy in between, but I'll try and pop down, okay?
Okay. All right. That's good, Chris. Okay. So what was going to mention to you? Oh, yeah. So I just see one of two ways of this whole saga ending. First is if the Redskins lose out and Bruce Allen, I think Bruce Allen would be fired then, right? Or no?
If they lose out?
Yeah.
I would say yes, that increases the chances, but I don't know what it's going to take. First of all, I don't think he's going to be fired. I think the only way he leaves, I think, is if he resigns or retires, and more likely retires.
Okay, so but do you think he could retire? Because didn't he sell that house or something?
Yes, he sold his mansion in McLean. He's living, from what I understand, in a condo in Ashburn. He bought a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful estate in Southern California near the Los Angeles area. I've thought for a while that he is going to wind up working for the Rams and Kevin Demoff, who's their COO and president. Because Kevin Demoff and him have a good relationship somehow. And Sean McVay, my understanding is, and Bruce always had a good relationship. So I think that's where Bruce is going to ultimately wind up.
Okay, so you think it's just a matter of time before he leaves, right?
I do. I do. I can't rule out them firing him. I've always been told that they wouldn't. I still think it's unlikely that they will. But again, a retirement or a resignation can be basically essentially a firing as well. You know, everyone knows. Like, here's my thing. If Bruce truly, like he said back in late January, that when he was asked what makes him a good leader or the right personally, he's like, because I share the same passion as the Redskins fans. Well, if you share the same passion as the Redskins fans, you should know that you're the problem. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. No. That's right. So I just see either that this thing will drag on because I think if he stays with this organization, I think there's a good chance that everyone comes back, including Callahan. I don't think they'll be able to find anyone to replace him, because I don't think anyone wants to come here as long as he's with the organization.
Well, there's nobody with any juice or authority that's willing to come here. And people got a little salty with me when I asked in terms of a question Todd Bowles yesterday, because I said, you know, look, the Redskins are going to need somebody that they feel that, you know, they can control and isn't going to, you know, fight City Hall if Bruce and Dan are still both jointly in power. And I asked the question of Todd Bowles, but it goes beyond Todd Bowles. There are guys that are special teams coordinators. I wrote about this last night. Guys like Rich Bisaccia with Oakland, who they interviewed for the head coaching position in 2014. Dave Taub with Kansas City. Guys that don't have any real leverage in terms of getting a head coaching position, that are so desperate to get a head coaching position, they might be willing to take it.
Man, that's the only thing I can think of. But as long as he's in an organization, this thing will drag out, and we're going to be back to where we were.
Correct.
We're still going to be here a year from now.
Correct.
It's possible that they're just going to try to bleed it. I don't know when Dan just finally throws up his hands and says, "I can't take it. I have to clean out this thing." I mean, maybe it's 20,000 fans showing up week one of next season. I don't know what it's going to take. I honestly don't.
I don't either. I appreciate the phone call, Chris, and the good words, and have a great weekend and all that stuff. And I appreciate you hanging on. I don't either. I mean, the optics are so bad, even on this 2-game winning streak. You know, people just are not watching. People are not caring. People are not passionate at all about the Washington Redskins brand, and they know it. They see it every day. Trust me, they know it. They put on a good face. They know it. There's no way they're that insulated. They know it. They might be ignorant at times, but they know it. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. All right, we'll come back. We'll finish up with a couple of thoughts on the Redskins. Then we'll get into the Caps. Then we'll finish up with the Nationals, all until 3:30 right here on The Fan. That would be Bruce saying that. Oh, boy. First things first, beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Then we can talk semi-realistically about that. Semi-realistically. Again, you still have probably a better chance. I mean, at one point a week and a half ago, it was you have a better chance, I think, of getting struck by lightning three times or something like that, the Post said, than making the playoffs. Maybe you still have a better chance of getting struck by lightning. I don't know. But the bottom line is let's talk about that after they beat Green Bay, which is possible. Is possible. It's not absurd. It's not, there's no chance. Now, they're going to have to play really, really, really well in some areas. You know, they're going to have to get something from special teams. They're going to have to get turnovers. They're going to have to get the kind of pressure that they've been able to generate without having to wait for the third or fourth series. We talked about this earlier. Greg Minuski has to be aggressive from the start. You get beat by Aaron Rodgers being aggressive, I can live with that. Because here's what I know. When you've been conservative in the past, recently and not so recently, you've been carved up. You're not good enough to be conservative. You've got to dictate tempo. That's what the Redskins have to do tomorrow in order to have a chance. All right, well, let's wrap up the Redskins conversation. This way we'll go to Ed in Denver on radio.com. What's up, Ed? How are you?
Great. How are you today?
Doing good, Ed. What's going on?
Well, first off, I'm a diehard Redskin fan. Lived in Virginia in my younger days.
Okay.
Diehard Redskin fan.
And you've moved out to Denver, eh?
Yes, I did.
All right. Denver's a beautiful area of the country.
Oh, it is. It is. Okay. Now, my question is, Bruce Allen's title is president and general manager.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So, I would say, no, don't fire him. Bring another general manager in, like Joe Gibbs, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if he would do that. And bring another general manager in. Because, obviously, this is not working with him as GM. Okay? And my next thing is...
Before you go on to the next thing, let me answer that and then get to the next thing. Here's the problem, the only problem, or the main problem. One, bringing somebody in from outside the organization, unless that person is kind of desperate, like Scott McLuhan was in a way, I don't see that happening, number one. Number two, like they could easily promote a guy like Kyle Smith, who's in charge of their college draft, where they've had, you know, a pretty good level of success the last couple of years. They could promote him to an in-house general manager. The problem is nobody is going to believe that Kyle Smith is making decisions. If Bruce is still there and above him in terms of the presidency, everyone is going to say, Bruce and Dan are still making the decisions, and who am I to say, no, you're wrong, Kyle's making the decisions.
Okay. So you don't think Joe Gibbs would – you don't think that would be a good – or even if he would do it.
I mean, I don't think he would do it. And if Joe Gibbs is coming back in any capacity, I think it would have to be as president, meaning, you know, yes, somewhat of a figurehead, but but he would have to be basically the top guy in charge. There's no way that I could see a guy as noble as Joe Gibbs working for Bruce Allen.
Okay. Now, my next thing is before I came on, you were talking about the Redskins, I believe, winning three games. Do they have to win tomorrow? If they don't win tomorrow, are they technically out?
No, they are not technically out. They are out. Period. If they lose tomorrow, or if Philadelphia beats the Giants on Monday night, the Redskins are eliminated.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can't believe that a 3-9 team is still even
Yeah. I mean, welcome to the story of the 2019 NFC East. We suck in concert.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate the phone call. Good to have you with us on radio.com from all the way in Denver. We'll get to Brad and Winchester on the other side. I'll finish up with the Redskins, and then we'll start to move on. Caps, we need to give them more time. They just went out, kicked ass at a four-game sweep on a West Coast trip that started in Detroit a week ago, coming back home for the Blue Jackets. I screwed that one up on Monday. Blue Jackets, yes. And then Boston, I believe, on Wednesday, I believe. So we will talk about them, as well as getting into some Nats, hot stove, all before 3:30 on the Fan. Get up until 3:30. And again, SCC title game coverage at that point. I don't know what's after that. Do you know what's after that, Darius? After the SEC title game? Nothing, CBS Sports Radio? Okay. So SEC title game, then CBS Sports Radio, I should say. Nothing, but Virginia and Clemson tonight. That'll be a good game for probably a couple of series. And then Clemson will probably pull away. Although Clemson's not as dominant this year, obviously. How about Oregon last night just mauling Utah? Right? Everybody was running around thinking Utah was so great. 37-15. 20-13 now Oklahoma over Baylor in the Big 12 championship game from Jerry's World in Texas. All right, let's get back to it. Finish up little Redskins talk. Brad and Winchester on the Fan. Hey, Brad, how are you? Good afternoon.
Hello. Is this the Rooster?
Yes. You got
it. Thank you. Okay, I thought it was. I listened to this 24/7.
Well, I appreciate that.
24/7.
Well, we appreciate that. That's very good of you.
And, I just listen to it all day long. Anyway, you said a while ago that nobody has any confidence in the Skins and all that or blah, blah, blah. But I like the 1-2 punch on the running game, and I think this quarterback is going to work out to be something.
I like the 1-2 punch of the running game too, Brad. I'm a big running the football kind of guy, you know? I mean, this is...
Do you have any confidence that this young quarterback is going to step up play?
Well, here's the thing. I think he's going to struggle tomorrow because I don't think they're going to be able to handle the pass rush of the Green Bay Packers. And I also think that they've got some opportunistic guys in the back end like Adrian Amos and Jaire Alexander. I think he's going to be hard-pressed to have a big passing day tomorrow. However, hang on. Here's the thing. If they can run the football and run it effectively and run it often,
right,
that is going to set him up for success. Now, that doesn't mean he's automatically going to get it or have it, but the opportunities have been there. If you look at how they've run and executed run the offense the last 2 weeks, the opportunities have been there. He just hasn't pulled the string. He just hasn't been able to connect.
But I thought he threw some decent passes last weekend.
He did at times, and he had a couple. And he had a couple of drops, and he was better last week than he was the week before. I absolutely agree with you, Brad. The problem is that
Tom Brady said you can't pass it, catch it too. And then his wife said it.
I understand, but here's the thing: in football, like everybody wants to make it all about the quarterback, the quarterback, the quarterback. Everything has to go right in order for the quarterback to look really good. Right? Guys have to catch the ball.
I love Adrian Peterson, and I think that the young guy is really did good last week. But you said everybody's losing confidence. I haven't lost confidence in him.
Well, wait a second. In losing confidence in Haskins, you mean?
No, all three of them. Peterson.
Oh, I didn't say everybody's losing confidence. I love the running back tandem. Now,
well,
Haskins needs it.
You didn't say everybody. You said, but most college call in.
Well,
are not.
No, I think a lot of people are down on Haskins because they don't see the box score bingo numbers and they want 300 passing yards a game come hell or high water, and they don't care how it gets done. They just want it. And that's, you know, that's part of the problem. Brad, I appreciate the phone call. That's part of the problem. It's hard to make, like, Pro Football Focus gave them like an 85.2 out of 100. Why? Because they don't charge and blame the quarterbacks for drops or well-thrown balls that, you know, were, I guess, broken up, but the quarterback did their job, right? It was just a great play by the defensive back or a drop by the receiver, or the receiver didn't run the route right. You know, it's a complicated formula how they grade. I wouldn't take how they grade and run and go, oh, my God, this automatically means that this player played really, really, really well. I don't think Dwayne Haskins played really, really well last week. I think Dwayne Haskins played fine last week. I think he played all right last week. C+. Maybe a B-. I don't think he played at a B level or a B+ level. I really don't. And maybe I'm being hard on the kid. I don't know. And I am the last person in the world. The last person in the world to use just pure statistics. The last person in the world. But the bottom line is, that's how people are going to judge, largely, Dwayne Haskins. All right, Bernie in Rockville will join us in the next segment. The Caps finishing off a 4-game Western swing that started in Detroit less than a week ago tonight. 6 straight wins. Jacob Vrana with a goal and an assist last night. Braden Holtby, 27 saves. Caps in control. Travis Boyd and Kuznetsov on the snapshot from the faceoff circle, giving the Caps a 2-0 lead. Anaheim would get a marker back from Ryan Getzlaff, and then the Caps would finish them off and again win 3-2. It's not like they played a bunch of world beaters on this trip. Detroit stinks. Anaheim is sub-500. The Kings aren't any good. San Jose is a good team. Let's be careful about how much we read into all of this, okay? But, for the Caps, to go 4-0 on, again, a week-long road trip, 4 games in 6 nights, started last Saturday night, and finished last Friday night, 4 cities, couple of different time zones, again, 4 games, 6 nights, no Nick Backstrom. I mean, how do you not be impressed? How do you not walk away going, damn, they might win the Stanley Cup again? Long way to go before we get there. I'll let Bernie in Rockville finish that up because I know he's always got some great thoughts on his beloved Caps, and he sees much more than I do. I fell asleep watching the game last night while I was writing a Bill Callahan column. Welcome to how exciting my world is. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So Burn Baby Burn will join us on the other side to talk about the Red Hot Caps. Oh, that was a terrible snap. And Jalen Hurts just corralled it on the ground around his ankle. Looked back, found an open out. Did you see that, Darius? An open outlet receiver. And I mean, it was a simple throw made from the ridiculous of circumstances.
He scooped that with one hand.
Yeah.
Bad snap with one hand.
And it was like around his ankle and like it was like a basketball, like he was trying to almost like palm a basketball around his ankle or something like that. It's crazy. I mean, the throw wasn't hard, but to do that, to do what he did, that's pretty crazy. That's what great athletes do. That dude, I mean, he's got, right, like if Greg Roman gets an NFL head coaching job, that marriage has almost got to happen, right? Jalen Hurts and Greg Roman, like, have to have, like, be signing the prenuptials and all that stuff, right? Something like that. I don't know. think so. I mean, because he's, you know, he's obviously a great athlete. And, you know, that's not a, you know, it's not a criticism to be a great athlete and maybe to struggle in some areas as a quarterback, as a pocket passer. You just got to be willing to work at it. You know, I mean, say whatever you want about Lamar Jackson, right? I think if he's asked to throw 30 to 35 times a game, he's going to be in trouble, like on against a really good defense. But that guy's worked as a pocket passer. I mean, you can see how much better in the pocket he looks this year. Without thinking you know it all, because you don't, you can see how much he's learned. And I don't mean you as in you, the listener. Just, you know who I'm talking about, right? You know who I'm talking about. All right, let's get to Burn Baby Burn. Bernie in Rockville. Did you see that play, Bernie? I know you did, right? You got like yes, 18 eyes in the back of your head.
You know I'm watching this de facto CFP quarterfinal mm-hmm. going on between Oklahoma and Baylor with the winner. And it'd be juicy if when my boys get done with their second helping of cheddar tonight in Indianapolis, they get the shot at Oklahoma after all the Nick Bosa and Mark Andrews and Baker Mayfield and flag planting. How great would that lead up be? We have Ohio State and Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl
on
December 28th.
I'm in. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
I'll be watching a big helping of Schooner.
The Peach Bowl is still, the Peach Bowl is still in Atlanta, right?
Yes. It'd be the Peach and the Fiesta are the two semifinals.
And why is it on December 28th?
It's a Saturday.
Oh, okay. I know they want to avoid, and correctly, New Year's Eve. And you certainly don't want to do it, obviously, on the 29th, which is the final NFL Sunday.
So they do it on that last Saturday before New Year's now, so you get the most eyes you can get on the product, and usually Saturday is the best day to
It's weird though because Saturday is
January 1st.
Yeah, no, it's weird though because Saturday's always been the worst. Like Saturday night is considered to be one of the worst television ratings nights, because people go out, people go to the movies, whatever, they go bowling or do whatever they do. But to that point. People are used to watching college football on Saturdays. It's better to do it on Saturday the 28th than New Year's Eve when nobody is really locked into watching football and everybody's out getting drunk and partying and going out to dinner and all that stuff. I guess it makes sense. You're kind of limited. You said the Rose Bowl's on January 1st?
Well, I think that's the only prerequisite on the New Year's Six when they rotate them around.
Right.
Is
Rose that it's Bowl always
stays on January 1st. That's when they'll have the playoff on January 1st, regardless of the date. The Rose Bowl, wherever January 1st lands. So that's the only difference,
right.
I think, nowadays.
Okay. What about the Cavs, man?
Out the NCAA is like getting a protractor out and trying to get right angles. Caps, can't say anything but more than what you're seeing on the ice right now. And technically, they really haven't played more than two or three really good 60-minute games. There's still a lot of bumps in the road and a lot of stuff to iron out, but you can see the defensive game starting to take shape a little bit. Against, like you said, some of the teams that aren't up to where the levels of the St. Louis's and the Edmontons of the world out west are, but there's still teams that have that home ice advantage that an Eastern team comes out, usually get gobbled up no matter how up or down the standings these California mm-hmm. teams are.
Well, here's the thing. When they stay out of the box, they're better that's number one. Number two, they're much better on penalty killing for when they do go to the box. And when they are getting a lead, which they got several times on this trip, I know in Los Angeles, and obviously last night in Anaheim, San Jose, they were down early, and then before you knew it, it was 3-1. But when they get a lead and when they're not going a penalty parade to the box and putting themselves in bad situations, putting a lot of pressure on their goaltender, a lot of pressure on their defense, and keeping Ovi and guys like Kuznetsov on the bench because they're not going to always play on penalty kill or rarely going to play on penalty kill, this team – I don't want to say they're unbeatable, but they're close to unbeatable. Because they're, I mean, they're winning all these games without Backstrom. Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing also, I was just doing crunching some numbers. They're 18-2-3 since Michael Kempney got in the lineup this year. Because remember, you had him out the last first eight games.
You're right.
Michael Kempney has solidified the defensive core and made John Carlson take his game to another level.
You're right. That's an excellent observation, as always. That's why I pay you the big bucks.
Yep, I'm still waiting on that 17th check. You know, the first 16 have been pretty nice, but the 17th one is kind of in limbo. You know, Restro, I think it's because the Bill Callahan thing hasn't come through yet.
Well, keep waiting, Bernie, because I'm still waiting on mine, I can tell you that much.
You're doing a hell of a job on SI, and you always do a first-class job here on the radio station. I mean, I was just telling Darris when we were setting everything up, him, Double J, Eric Honor before he got his well-deserved bump up to a full-time spot with Sirius, and all these other guys have rolled through here and produced PJ. I mean, it's always been first class whenever I've been dealing. Jalen's been doing a great job. Also,
oh, yeah.
So
no, we got some really good people here.
Group of people there.
Yeah, we got some really good people, some hard, you know, dedicated people. And, you know, the radio station always evolves and always changes. You know, and nobody's perfect. I'm far, far from perfect.
You and Mullins was thoroughly entertaining last weekend. I'm telling you, you two together are fantastic. When you guys are away from all the drama of the fruitcake and porn,
yes.
You two, and you're doing sports, you're doing everything.
I agree.
That was a very entertaining and very informative show last weekend. If people get a chance to find it on demand.
I agree.
You're
the man.
Radio.
Check is once again going in the mail. That 17th
absolutely,
check, I promise.
I'll leave you with this. You look at the Capitals, you mentioned Jacob Vrána. His development, ever since he got put with Backstrom and Oshie in the cup run when Burakovsky got hurt, his development has just gone more and more and more. And the play he made last night for the game-winning goal in Anaheim is just showing how tenacious he is on the puck and off the puck. And he's a dark horse for me showing up in St. Louis with Ovi and Carlson for the All-Star game in late January.
Jake the
Snake. 27 points in 31 games. He's one of four guys with 27 or more points on the Caps in the top 25 in scoring. Nobody has more than two. Caps have four.
Bernie and
Rock. Jake is a guy that's making this team more complete.
I agree.
When you get Backstrom back in the lineup, you line everything back up, sky's the limit.
Absolutely.
NBC
Thank you. Thank you, pal.
Wednesday night for Boston.
There
got
you
it.
Go. I got to jump in.
Boom.
Time to take a timeout. Top of the hour. All right, we welcome you back. Final half an hour or so on the radio program. Redskins have made a roster move. They put DeShazer Everett, safety special teamer, on injured reserve. He's done for the year. And they've promoted from the practice squad Darvin Kidzie. So the kid that they signed earlier this week that worked out with Colin Kaepernick did not get the call up. Again, he's just been here. Kidzie's been around, so he knows the system a lot more. I mean, I knew it was a long shot, but I didn't know if they would go that route or not. So they make the roster move to DeShazer Everett, who they just gave a contract extension to at the beginning of November and has been banged up for much of the year, shut down. I think he re-injured his shoulder, I want to say. I think he was full on Wednesday. And I have to double-check that and then maybe re-injured himself during Wednesday's practice and was out Thursday. I believe that's how it went. But I could be slightly off on that. So either way, you know, look, I mean, that to me, that's just more playing time for Troy Apke, who they need all this, you know, who needs all the seasoning he can get on special teams and at safety. I mean, I'm kind of hard on Monte Nicholson. I always see Monte Nicholson involved in some sort of coverage bust. I mean, we saw that in Carolina. I can't remember if it was the first touchdown or the second touchdown. You know, whenever now that Josh Norman's not on the field, the number you also always see involved in some way, shape, or form in some sort of coverage lapse or bust or situation is Monte Nicholson. What you don't see is enough plays to justify the headache. That's what you don't see. I'm sure I'll be, you know, screamed at and, you know, people send me all sorts of nasty notes and, you know, all that stuff. Have fun. I need production. Need production. If you're going to be a pain in the ass, I need production. If you're going to, you know, have the organization be under the microscope twice in 11 months, I need more production. Period. I mean, I don't care what happened, how it happened, whatever. I need more. And I don't get enough of it, you know, if I'm going to deal with that. So, you know, in hindsight, this might be one of those situations where, you know, where maybe you get Apke a little bit more playing time than he has been getting of late since Nicholson's been back. Remember, when Nicholson missed those two. I can't remember. You know, Apke all of a sudden started playing and playing reasonably well. By no means was he great or awesome or anything like that, but he started making at least a play a game that would jump out a little bit at you. Now, it's much more than just that. You have to be better than that, but at least that's what you got. Now, Nicholson had a good start to this year in terms of making some impact plays. You know, he had that interception against Dak Prescott. That was a ball that was batted kind of up in the air. Same thing, I want to say, for the Cincinnati preseason game. There was one other play that Nicholson made, and I can't remember the circumstance. I believe it was also an interception. I can't remember exactly the details on that, but, you know, the Redskins need more. It's all there is to it. I mean, it's all there is to it. It's as simple as that. They need more. If they're, you know, and by the way, they need more out of Landon Collins too. I know Landon Collins is good against the run. I know he's a short tackler, all that stuff. I get it. But I don't pay guys on average $15 million a year or whatever it is to be good tacklers. That's not what we pay guys for. And if that bothers you, you're right. You can say or think whatever you want. I mean, I need Landon Collins to make more impact plays. And I'm not saying it's all his fault. I'm sure a better defensive coordinator would help. I'm sure. But what I am saying is the Redskins need Landon Collins to be more of an impact guy. Much more of an impact guy. They absolutely do. And I'm sorry if you don't like that. That's the truth. That's the truth. Landon Collins, just real quickly, I just wanted to look this up and I was having trouble finding it. He leads the Redskins in tackles by almost 20, 19. 102 combined tackles over John Bostic's 83. That's all great. He's got one sack. He's got no interceptions, no fumbles, no fumble recoveries, a forced fumble. So one sack and one forced fumble. Now listen, that's not a bad year by any means. Not a bad year at all. I mean, most people would take that and say, okay, with four games left, I'm probably going to be around 125-ish in terms of tackles. That's pretty good If he can get an interception between now and then, okay. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. This year, Landon Collins' cap number is egregiously low. It's only 3.825. They structured it very team-friendly in year one. What I worry about, as we fast forward, it goes from 3.825 to 14.2 next year. He's got a $10 million guaranteed base and a $4.2 million salary cap proration. 14.2, according to overthecap.com. And in 2021, if you think that's pretty high, it goes to 17.2. So you're talking about a meteoric jump in salary. Right? The Redskins are going to need more than 120 tackles, one forced fumble, and one sack. I'm sorry if that rubs you the wrong way. I'm trying to prove that I'm not just rough on Monte Nicholson. They need more. They need more. They absolutely need more. And there's no other way to say it. They need more. And I mean, you can put up whatever kind of highlight video you want, and I see them all. I mean, all these fans run around, oh, look at this play, and look at that play, look at how he blew up this guy, look at how he blew up that guy. You need more game-changing plays. What have we all said about, and I've said, about Josh Norman? He made no game-changing, or very few, game-changing plays. And I didn't even think Josh Norman was that good in coverage. I mean, he was fine. He was okay. Wasn't great ever. He was good to very good in 2017. That was about it. 2016, he was not good. 2018, he was not good. 2019, he's been a disaster. But you need game-changing plays if you're not going to be lights-out coverage or lights-out in another way. And for as many tackles as, say, a guy like Landon Collins has made, the Redskins' run defense still stinks, largely. Still not good enough. So, can't exactly say that. All right, we'll come back with some finishing thoughts on the Nationals and the hot stove. I kind of delayed in getting into that. That's okay. Plenty of time to talk about that as the winter meetings get going officially tomorrow. In San Diego, will Steven Strasburg sign with a new team in his hometown? We'll find out, won't we, on The Fan. So here's the deal. The last time I was on Thursday night, Mark Lerner cried wolf. Oh, we don't have the money. We can't afford both. And, you know, obviously I'm overreacting and over-dramatizing. I didn't want to discuss that again today. They have the money. They don't want to spend it. They don't want to spend it, and they don't want to blow out their baseball budget so that they have to put out money from their other businesses into the baseball team, number one. Number two, they don't want to spend so much money now that they don't have the money necessarily to potentially do deals with Juan Soto and Trey Turner and still field a competitive team and still do things like they did with Howie Kendrick yesterday, which was great. That's what it was all about, okay? But Scott Boras, who, of course, has every reason to think like this, on the recent words of Mark Lerner saying, oh, you know, we don't have the money. He sees, you know, obviously ample opportunity for the Nationals. Now, they know each other really well, right? They know each other really well. He knows they won a World Series. He knows that you don't feel the true impact of a World Series run like the Nationals made until the next year. Sure. They got all those extra home playoff games. Sure, people are going bonkers buying gear, all that stuff. The true impact will come in just April and May, when games that would normally draw on a Monday night, you know, 18,000 in mid-April against the Braves, might have 30,000. And then you take that extra 10, 11, 12,000, whatever it is, and you multiply it by, I don't know, $50 a person, $40 a person, whatever it is, in concessions and gear and parking and this and that. All the things that the Nationals get. It's also possible that Mark Lerner was basically saying, look, we're not in this. You know, we're not going to do whatever it takes and everything that it takes to sign both of these guys. So maybe to other teams, you don't have to go crazy outbidding us just because we won the World Series, and everybody should assume that we're, of course, going to bring back our best position player and our best pitcher. Of course. So there's a lot of he said, she said. The only thing that gives me pause here is usually Lerner is too candid, is too honest. And I do believe they're not going to bring back both. I've always believed that. I think most people have believed that. The question is whether he should have said it or not. That's a whole nother question. The other issue is this. The Phillies are planning to make a run at Anthony Rendon. This was reported by Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Their top priority is now Anthony Rendon. On this radio station and on Twitter, on August the 5th, because I went back and I checked, the loudmouth that's yelling into your car radio or your radio.com app right now said the Phillies were going to be a top contender, a top pursuer of Anthony Rendon. And here's how I reasoned it out. Number one, Michael Franco had a disaster of a year. They didn't even tender him. So you know they needed a third baseman. They did the deal with Boris for Harper last year. Rendon would fit in perfectly in that lineup, in that ballpark. I don't think Rendon would enjoy himself in Philadelphia. He's not Bryce Harper in that regard. He's a lot more sensitive in that element. He doesn't like the spotlight. Now, maybe because Rhys Hoskins and Bryce Harper are there, he can just kind of fall into line. But whenever you're playing in Philadelphia and you're one of several big names or big players or whatever, you're going to have to deal with the media. You're going to have to deal with booing. You're going to have to deal with expectations and hype and all that. So I still don't see Rendon likely being a fit in Philadelphia, but I told you on August 5th on this very radio station that Rendon would be pursued by the Philadelphia Phillies. And now he's their top priority. Bam. Again, I don't think he goes there, just like I don't think Strasburg goes to the Yankees. But could I see Rendon going to the Texas Rangers? Could I see Rendon, you know, if I mean, I don't see him going to a big-time booming media market. Maybe I'm wrong on that. You know, Washington's a soft media market. It is. We're not tough here. I mean, we talk a lot, but we're not tough. We're actually pretty respectful. I just don't see him going to a vicious media market like Philadelphia and a vicious fan base. Not to say all are, but there are many that are. I think Rendon winds up in Texas. I think that's where he's probably wanted to go all along. And that, you know, that's what happens. Strasburg, I still think he comes back here. I feel pretty confident about what I've heard the offer was. I can't absolutely prove it. So, you know, I'll just go with that's what I've heard. I think it's a pretty good offer, but we'll see. So I think the Nationals have been planning to lose one of these two guys all along. I think it'll be Rendon over Strasburg, but I would not be shocked. What do you do if Strasburg leaves first? Possibility, right? Don't think it'll happen, but what do you do? Then do you overpay to spend Anthony Rendon? Very tough decision. The world champs might look very different. All right, thanks to Darius on the other side of the glass. Great job out of him, Ryan, earlier. You guys on the phones and for listening. SEC Championship up next. Adios.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.